Hey guys, I'm starting out a new financial channel with my co-host Michael Santinato. His channel is called BeFire Become Financially Indestructible. And we're trying to get his new channel up to 1,000 subscribers, so if you guys could go down there, the link is down below in the description. Also, the content's going to be released on his channel about 2 to 3 weeks before it gets released on mine. Again, the link is below, and now on with the show.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Santinato here with How to Become Financially Indestructible with the one and only Sandman. I'm really excited for this topic today because this is our future. This is the space economy. Sandman, teach us, please.
Okay, so pretty much up to this point, everyone kind of understands SpaceX. Like we're seeing them literally launch a rocket 100 times a year, right? So that's like every 3 or 4 days, they're launching something into orbit. They're landing it. They're reusing it. And then they're doing it all like a few days later. And in the end, the goal is to do it every day. So space will be a daily activity for the human race. We'll have access to space the way we have access to air travel.
Wow. Holy jeez.
Yeah. So
I had no idea.
Well, just look at the flight data. So, you know, a couple of days ago, I was watching, you know, Russia was going to launch 3 astronauts into space and their rocket messed up and they canceled the aborted the flight. But SpaceX, like they were launching a resupply rocket the next day and there was no glitch. It just up it goes, right? So they have a lot less technical issues when it comes to putting stuff in orbit. And then they make it routine. Like you see the rocket go up, you see the booster come back to Earth, land back on the landing pad, and it's routine, right? And like,
yeah.
No, we don't even look at it like magic. But when we first saw it, it was like, what the hell is that? Like, and so as space becomes more accessible, we're not going to see it as something, you know, that's kind of like science fiction-y. We're going to see it as something that's real. And you're already seeing that kind of with robotics and AI. Like it's already starting to do all of these really interesting things. And you're not like blown away by it anymore.
Right. I'll tell you what though, it's like I'm reminded of this meme, you know, almost like I can see it in my mind's eye where like Russia is like, we're trying to get the rocket off the ground. And Elon is just there like, we're doing this every day, bro. And he's putting the salt on the steak like the guy with the salt steak arm.
Well, you know? it's hilarious because 20 years ago he went to Russia and he wanted to buy a rocket from them so he could launch a little like flower in a glass jar and put it on the surface of Mars so that people could watch it and be inspired and so that they could build like a space program that could get humans there. And the Russians were like, they invited him, they had dinner and everything, and then they like, no. Get out of here. Who are you? Like they basically mocked it. Like you don't want to mess with Elon Musk. Like he's kind of got this, like he's cool. He's like hip. But if you rub him the wrong way, you end up becoming like Don Lemon. I don't know if you know who Don Lemon is.
No.
So Don Lemon just did an interview on X with Elon Musk. And Elon is like, no, I'm just kicking you off. Like, it's like, it's my platform. Like, get out of here. Like, And then he's like, oh, he's just a mediocre white dude. That's what he called Elon, right? Like, and everyone's just like, what? Like mediocre? Man. Like, yeah, he's just like, it's just insults. It's just stupidity. But so you don't.
I agree. Don't fuck with Elon. I agree.
Well, this is this hater thing, right? Like people are, they hate him because you know, they're like, oh, he can't achieve what he's going to achieve. You know, a lot of the time he doesn't achieve the full potential of something, but he still gets more than halfway above where he needs to go. Right. So go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the mark of a great man is not that he succeeded a lot. It's that he's failed a lot and gotten up and keep going, you know, like that's what it takes. I mean, being an entrepreneur, I can just relate a bit to know that you have to fucking get up and keep going. And that's the hardest part. So, you know, he says there's going to be rockets in space. Look, there's rockets in space. There's that great montage compilation video of all the rockets failing, right? And all of them blowing up on all those barges dozens and dozens and dozens of times. But now, just like you said, they're almost launching rockets on a daily basis, putting previous NASA, you know, space launches to shame. NASA used to do, what, 2 launches a year, 3, maybe 4 max? Like some years they barely did 1.
Well,
Right? And then
NASA.
they had all those explosions and all those people died.
Well, have you seen him? Have you seen any explosions with any of his rockets where people have died? No, you haven't.
No.
Right? So
Exactly.
he's putting safety of people first, and it's working out. And so NASA has actually said it would have cost them, I think, 7 to 10 times more money to develop the Falcon 9 rocket through the government and the bureaucracy than to just hire him and to do it.
Exactly. 10 times the cost and probably 10 times the time.
Yeah.
It would have taken 10 times as long.
Well, there's also a lot of national pride. Like, you can't have NASA launching rockets that blow up as part of their plan, right? So
Right.
the idea is rapid iteration. So you launch something, you're not even sure if it's going to work. You try it as best you can, and then you learn along the way, and then the next version is better than the previous version. So
Yeah.
you see the Falcon 9 rocket, but you don't see that there is like all these different versions of it beforehand.
Yeah.
And no one really talks about that, right? They just see the
Yeah.
final finished product. But you've seen the compilation of the rockets blowing up, so that's good.
Yeah, it's incredible. Incredible.
So just imagine now, companies hiring him to launch their space stations. So this Starship rocket is the size, like in volume wise, it's bigger than the International Space Station. So imagine
Right.
launching an entire like Starship, and they're building the lunar one that's going to land on the moon from NASA. Now, what's to stop them from making a private lunar one? So imagine
Yes.
you can go to the moon privately as an astronaut. Like, that is a
Oh, that's
trip.
happening for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
That's happening. Commercial space flight, Richard Branson was really interested in that. That's why he bought that and launched that. I think he was the first one to start taking deposits. It's like a $60,000 deposit or something like
Well,
that to go to the
there's
moon
he,
on one of
no,
the
no, no. He was doing, he was taking deposits for Virgin Galactic. So,
That's right.
Virgin
For people to go
Galactic
to
is,
space.
yeah. Well, no. It was the edge of space, and you're like weightless for a minute or two, and then you come back down. And so there's like a video of him going up to the edge of space, and he's like strapped in his chair, like he looks like the devil is scaring him. He will not get out of his chair. He just looks like terrified. And behind him, there's all these like cute like 21-year-old like Playboy bunnies just like floating
Of
around and
course.
spinning around like ooh, right? And he's just like oh right, like, and you're watching this and you're like, the kind of the same thing that happened with William Shatner. Like, William Shatner went up with Jeff Bezos's rocket, and
Oh
like
yeah.
yeah, he was up and he's just you see him standing there and he like doesn't know what to say. He's just like William Shatner usually can't shut up, and then all of a sudden he's in space and he's like, Captain Kirk is like, quiet, what's going on?
I gotta see these videos. I've never seen these.
Yeah, so but the whole rocket that like what's his name, Jeff Bezos put together, people are like, well, he's the only one in the world who could take something as cool as space travel and shape his rocket to look literally like a phallic like shwang that
Symbol.
floats up in space, right?
Yeah, but so does the SpaceX one. The SpaceX one has a knob and nuts too. I
Which one are you talking about?
don't know. The one that looks like a directly erect, you know
Well,
what?
they all technically look like that. Yeah, but no, but look at the
Rockets.
Bezos one. You're like, that does not look like a cool rocket. Like, Musk was asked, like, can we make it pointier? It's like, why? Because it's cool. And the people are like, why are you doing that? It's like, because that's what Ali G did when he was like on this TV show where they were like building like he was like some sort of Middle Eastern dictator. And they were building a
Yeah.
rocket, and he's like, can you make the rocket pointier? It's like, well, yeah. It's like, but we don't need to. It's like, well, it'll look cooler if it's pointier, right? So it's like, that's
That's
so anyway.
awesome.
But yeah, like
So
space travel is just one aspect. Like, private space travel is just one aspect of the financialization of space. That you got Starlink, which is basically what SpaceX is betting the farm on. They want to get the Starship up, and they want to be able to put up hundreds of Starlink satellites into orbit simultaneously. Because right now, I don't know, I think it's like half, 2 dozen. I'm not sure how many they're putting up, but it takes a lot of launches to put them up. So if they can get more of those up, then they can basically cover the Earth with internet from space, and then they can start selling internet plans and be cash flow positive. And right. that's going to give them a lot of money. Now, they also have projects that they're working on with the U.S. government, with the Space Force. So they're getting money from that. You know, they're getting the government contracts from NASA. There's Axiom Space, which is a private company that sells trips to space. And they basically rent out SpaceX's rockets as well. So that's another mm-hmm. company. So yeah, there are basics to making money. But eventually, we're looking at getting to the moon, potentially mining helium-3 for power. Because, you know, like a school bus full of helium-3 would power the Earth for an entire year with regards to electricity. What? Yeah. Helium-3 is extremely powerful if we could figure out how to harness it.
What the heck is helium-3?
It's the sun spits out the helium-3 molecule and it hits the surface of the moon. And because of that, okay. there are deposits of helium-3 on the moon. And we just need to figure out a way to like extract them and bring them back to the Earth.
Okay, and so it's like a new form of energy and electricity that
it's a helium isotope that if we like there's a way to kind of access the power that it's stored in it. Like we don't know how to do it yet, mm-hmm. but if we figure it out and we get helium-3, we'll have an unlimited power source for 1,000 years. So
wow, dude.
Well, but then you also get what do you call them? Solar panels. So if you build up a giant solar panel array in space, you can collect all that power without clouds being in the way, without obstructing the sun, and then you can beam mm-hmm. the electricity, the power back down to the surface of the Earth. Mm-hmm. So eventually you're going to see orbital solar plants that are just going to be beaming yes. power back down to the Earth.
Yes, we've seen this in some movies. We've seen this in some sci-fi crazy shit, cool movies.
Yeah, so
I don't remember which ones right now, but yeah, they've been there.
So let's say power, we get a lot of our energy from the sun directly, then we don't need fossil fuels as much anymore. Like we could pretty much, we need them That's for right. feedstock for like materials, but we don't need them for actual energy. So mm-hmm. that would be pretty good. That would be pretty incredible. Now, SpaceX is not the only game in town. There's also a company called Relativity Space, and they have this rocket called the Terran 1. And it's 85% 3D printed. And they did their first wow. launch a year ago. So as they build out the infrastructure, they can basically print an engine in about a week. And then if they don't like the design, they just reprint the engine. Right? And they're like...
Print an engine in a week?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Because what's holding back spaceflight is the fact that a lot of the rockets... In the past, like the Apollo, it was all done by hand. And these things were built by hand and then they were used once and they were garbage after that. So
right.
if you can do what Elon is doing, which is build a rocket, use it 25 times, you're still building it by hand. But then imagine you could build yeah. a rocket by 3D printing it and use it 25 or 100 times. So imagine wow. how much that's going to cut the cost of production down.
Yeah.
So,
my gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah, and they have this thing called the Stargate, and it literally they start on one end of the hangar and then they go to the other end and it prints the whole rocket out from one side to the other. And so the first 3D printed rocket came out last year. So these are good companies to invest in, right? Like if you can find a way to kind of get into the VC space with them. Mm-hmm. They're next, like if you go down to Cape Canaveral, Relativity Space is right next to SpaceX and Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' company. Mm-hmm. So, and it's some young guy, he's in his like late 20s and he's kind of innovating with this. Yeah, exactly. Right. So you're getting this young blood coming in, innovating in the tech space.
That's amazing. That's what it takes. That's what we need.
Yeah. And
that's how big change occurs.
Then there's also mining. So eventually we get to the point where we can mine rare earth minerals off of the earth. Right. So they found, mm-hmm. I think it was called like this protoplanet called Phoebe or something. I can't remember. I can't pronounce it. Psyche. There it is. Psyche asteroid. And they're saying that the material on the Psyche asteroid is worth more than the total value of the entire economy on Earth on this one asteroid.
Wow.
And
this one asteroid has more than enough value on it in terms of minerals than all of the current asset value of Earth?
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So all you'd have to do is get one of these asteroids, get some rockets connected to it, and then burn it back to Earth, put it in like low or medium like Earth orbit, and then you can mine it. Just send ships up from the surface and mine the asteroid from space. And then send the shipments back down. So there's an interesting TV show called The Expanse. And in The Expanse, you have the Belters, which are people who live out in the asteroid belt, and they mine the asteroids and they sell the raw materials back to Earth and Mars. And then there's Mars has like a colony and it's got a government, and then you've got Earth, which is the UN, United Nations, and they have their own kind of thing too. And all of these three factions are kind of always at war with each other, or they're fighting each other for power and dominance. So again, space economy. At some point, at first it'll just be tourism, but eventually it'll be telecommunications and energy and raw materials, and like everything is going to shift and everything is going to go in that direction. Space hotels. Just imagine, like, you could go up into orbit and hang out in a space hotel.
Incredible. So there's going to be many parts to this economy. It's not just, it's going to be minerals, tourism, it's going to be living, there's going to be
Energy.
other services. Yeah, energy, absolutely. Scientific research, obviously. What else?
Well, what else can I mean, I've kind of brought those up, but like what else is there? Like, I don't know. Manufacturing, because
Prostitution.
if you can, yeah, definitely. No, but you can get manufacturing done in space. Space aids certain manufacturing processes, so you're gonna have space factories that are gonna be producing stuff, and that's gonna be part of it as well. And then there's also military deployment. So what the Space Force is doing is they want to take the Starship rocket. And they want to have it ready on the pad so they can launch supplies and equipment from point to point within 30 minutes on anywhere in the entire world. Like, so say the US military needs a piece of equipment or tanks or whatever they need on the other side of the planet within 30 minutes. They could just launch it immediately. So
From
imagine,
space.
no, from point to point. So like say they have a military base. They put the stuff on the rocket, they launch the rocket immediately to the other side of the Earth in 30 minutes, and it's dropped off supplies, it's dropped off robots, it's dropped off whatever they need.
That's
So
incredible.
imagine warfare in the future. It's like you have 50 robots, you can put them on board one of these starships, you launch the robots around the planet, they land, and they're already deployed half an hour after the conflict's begun.
Yeah, it's like all the friggin' every single like space, sci-fi movie, futuristic, dystopian movie. It's like all of them are just flashing through my mind. All these series and documentaries and films that I've been watching, it's like they're all just coming to the surface.
Yeah, no, for sure. Right. So, like, we're going to see all this weird stuff we never really anticipated before.
It's gonna be fun. I'm excited.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, man.
Later.
Well, that's it. If you want these videos 2 weeks before I release them here, then check out the Financially Indestructible channel in the description. It's right near the top. If you have any finance-related topics that you want us to cover, then please leave them in the description. Michael and I both do coaching, and you can reach us through the links below too. Anyways, enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.